Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, Angel, I went 3-3 last week. I don't know what you ended up. I don't know if you tracked it. What do you like? Do you like Ravens to cover 9.5 against the Texans?
I do.
Okay, Packers, Niners. Did the Packers cover 9.5?
Packers will cover.
But Niners win still. Buccaneers, Lions. Lions are 6.5 point favorites. What do you like there?
I think the Lions win by a touchdown.
By a touchdown? Mm-hmm. Do we get an extra point?
6.5.
It's yes. 6.5. So they win by 7?
Touchdown is 7 points.
No, it's not, Angel. No, it's not. Touchdown is 6 points. Chiefs at Bills. Bills are minus 2.5.
I do think the Chiefs cover and the Chiefs win.
Okay. Here we go. Texans at Ravens. I love C.J. Stroud's story. I mean, I don't love it. Like, he had a lot of negative stuff, but I'm a believer in that guy. I wanted D'Amico Ryans to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos, so. 9.5, though. Texans, I think, are almost lucky to be here. I mean, they were really good at one point this season, and then they kind of fell off, but they did enough to get into the playoffs. But come on, Angel. It's the most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment. The MVP, the best quarterback we've ever seen in our lives. Lamar Jackson. The Ravens get this done easy. They cover 9.5. Dunzo. Packers at Niners. I have gone back and forth on this one. Just looking at the way the Packers finished the season, yeah, they won 3 in a row, but it was a close game to the Panthers. It was a close game to the Bears, and they ended up beating Minnesota pretty good. Jordan Love, we both kind of sold the idea that we didn't buy it, we're selling it, that he is going to be the next Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. 49ers are stacked. I think where they get into issues, if Brock Purdy feels like he's in a situation where he has to go win the game. But I like this team. I like the Niners. I did say in my picks here that I put out via social media, I did have the Packers covering. I have switched that, though. It's not official until I say it. I do think the Niners will cover 9.5. So we do have somewhat lopsided games this weekend on Saturday. Buccaneers at Lions. Baker Mayfield. Dreams do come true for Dan Campbell. They win at least by 7. They cover 6.5. Detroit moves on to the NFC Championship. And they're biting kneecaps and ankles. And it's a crazy place there in Detroit. Chiefs at Bills. We've had some battles between these two teams. The Bills are 2.5 point favorites. I worry about the injuries for the Bills. I worry about Josh Allen trying to do too much in these kind of games. The Bills don't cover. The Bills don't win. The Chiefs get it done and get to another AFC championship. I like Ravens covering. I like Niners covering. I like Lions covering. I like Chiefs winning. Good night, Northern Colorado.
By the time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell. Going to give you 3 topics in the sports world, mostly in the sports world. Sometimes we'll probably come up with something crazy. And then you guys can chime in on this. We'll tell you whether we're going to buy or sell this. First one, Angel, I already know where you're going on this. But there's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of talk about Alabama. Now you got the the quarterback recruit, Julian Sain. Is that how you say it? He's staying in the portal. He was going to go to Bama, but he's staying in the portal now. He's just like looping around, I guess. Are you buying or selling that Alabama's days of being the top dog? They got now Kalen DeBoer. It's not like he's a slouch. Pretty darn good. Are you buying or selling that Alabama's days of being the best or at least top five every single year, are those days coming to an end consistently? Buy or sell, Angel?
I'm selling it. Obviously, yeah. There's going to... No one's going to come in and immediately replicate what Saban was doing for 17 years. That's impossible. Ask any coach. You could put Kirby Smart in Bama right now, and I wouldn't expect him to win 6 championships in 17 years. But I think this year will be a down year in terms of, you know, maybe they might get to 10 wins. I'm kind of sitting right around 8 or 9. It's really a matter of the guys that are in there now buying in to what Coach DeBoer has. And then depending on the success of next season, then you get more proven record.
I would imagine you're going to see the transfer exodus and all that stuff. You're going to see it right now. You're going to.
Well, the winter portal window has closed. It closed, I believe, January like 6th or 7th.
Yeah, yeah.
But when a coach leaves, that school gets another 30 days.
Yes.
So any school that has a coaching leave or retire or whatever is 30 days. So Bama's in their 30 days right now.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's in their 30 days right now. Arizona's going to be in their 30 days. It's just weird how it works. And then the spring portal opens up, I believe, in April.
So I think it's going to be a kick in the face right now for Bama. However, I think it's going to smooth out. It's still Alabama at the end of the day. You know that they have the facility, like you talked about, the facilities, they got the pipelines, all that. I don't know if they'll win a national championship every other year, what that's going to look like, but I am not buying it. I'm selling that Alabama will fall out of being one of the members of college football royalty. So I'm selling that.
I want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell.
And that's not just sucking up to you, Angel, because you're a Bama guy.
Please don't.
Are you buying or selling that the Toronto Raptors, who just acquired Bruce Brown in a trade, will buy out his contract, release him, and he'll end up being a Denver Nugget before the season ends? Toronto is in a major rebuild. Bruce Brown is not necessarily a spring chicken. He's not over the hill, but he's not like, you're going for the youth movement here. You're already paying one of their studs. Is it Barrett? You're paying him a lot of money. You're going to want to get a good draft pick. Are you buying or selling that the Raptors release Bruce Brown and he puts on a Nuggets uniform before we get into the playoffs? Lots got to happen for that to come to fruition. I get that.
It's really interesting. I personally like what Reggie Jackson has given you in that replacement role for him. It's tough. I think Bruce, that would be the first call he would get, would be from the Nuggets. Is he willing to take a pay cut?
Well, if he gets the buyout, that would help.
Right. But then how much are we paying him?
Right.
We're paying him very, very cheap.
You couldn't afford $22 million. Yep. You couldn't afford $15 million. So would he do it on a discount to go on a major run? You buying it or you selling it? Standing firm with this current roster.
I'm going to sell it.
Sell it. Okay. That's hard for me. Is that going to happen? Probably not. But would I want it to happen? Do you upset the apple cart here? I mean, is that what we're doing? I'm going to say if Bruce Brown becomes available somehow in a buyout, because if they buy him out, got a new contract coming up. If they can afford it, and he's reasonable, buy it. I'm going to go buy it. I want him there. Yes, that will take away Reggie Jackson's minutes, but I want Bruce Brown.
All cash. None of it's on the books.
All right, finally. Are you buying or selling that not only will Jordan Love continue to be the starting quarterback and successful for the Packers, are you buying or selling that he is going to reach the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers status? I know it's an extreme question. You're talking two Hall of Famers there. But are you buying or selling that Jordan Love becomes the third quarterback in a row for the Green Bay Packers to play at a Hall of Fame level and deliver real success to Green Bay.
I'm selling. I think Jordan Love can be a good quarterback for Green Bay. I think he is obviously his first year in the league. There's a lot of surprises. A lot of people haven't seen him on film. I imagine next year you're going to have some more wrinkles for him on the defensive side to kind of challenge him a little bit, figure out what his tendencies are. I think he'll be good. I don't know if he'll be taking them to the playoffs every, you know, NFC championships every other year, Super Bowl every 4 or 5 years. I'm going to sell.
It's hard to predict that. And he's damn sure no Lamar Jackson. No one is.
I wasn't that high on him out of college either.
No, I wasn't. I'm going to say I'm selling. I'm selling, Angel. I'm selling.
I want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. But we're playing a prediction game. This isn't one of those shows where people go, we'll see what happens. We don't do that. We hold ourselves to a higher standard. We put ourselves out there. And so I'm saying, yeah, no, he might be good, but he won't be Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You guys are chiming in on this. Flying Dutchman says, on the buy-sell thing here, I love this. I want to get the hooligans involved. Before NIL, Alabama was one of the few that knew how to pay players under the table. Now that everyone can do it, they will no longer be a perennial top five. So he is buying the idea that Alabama's greatness days are numbered. Getting Bruce Brown back would be awesome. I'm buying that idea. And I'm also buying on Jordan Love. He's got all the tools and the swagger. So he's disagreeing with most of us, most of our takes here, except for I'm on the Bruce Brown thing. But I get where you're coming from on that. Because if you get Bruce Brown, what does that do to Reggie Jackson? Or your young guys that you're trying to grow? And I don't know that you can really... I don't know if the Raptors will buy him out. Do they think he's going to be a big part of what they're doing in the future? I don't know. But it would be interesting. Big one tonight for the Denver Nuggets and between the Denver Nuggets and the Boston Celtics. And Denver's coming in as a 7.5-point dog, Angel. So what do you think? Do you like the Nuggets to win this game tonight somehow? Nobody has done it in Boston. Nobody's done it yet.
I do. Obviously, the Philly and the Boston game were like the first two big ones on this East Coast road trip.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think the Philly games obviously have a lot more. It feels more like it's, okay, it's Jokic versus Embiid, and that's going to determine who's going to win this game. This game was, you know, this is what I thought the finals were going to be last year. It was going to be Denver and Boston.
I did too.
I still think that is a possibility this year, and this is a potential finals preview. I think the Nuggets are a little upset with how that Philly game went. We heard from Michael Malone that, you know, obviously the death of Milošević.
Yeah, Milojevic, I believe, yeah.
I think that's going to affect Jokic in a positive way, as Malone said, kind of carrying on that Serbian legacy. And, you know, you want to play for your coach, for the guy that got you to this point. So I think Jokic has a good night. I think Jamal is going to have a good night on a big stage. And I think the Nuggets get the win.
It's on ESPN at 5:30.
Love
few
it.
Hours away, Angel. A few hours away. It's a big night tonight, man. You've got that game. The UNLV CSU game is at 8:30. So right when the Nuggets game's finishing up, pretty much, we'll be ready to get this one going on FS1. The Rams are, unlike the Nuggets, the Rams are a 7.5-point favorite against the Rebels tonight. 15 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's start getting into the NFL playoffs because, Angel, everyone's waiting. Everyone's wanting to know what the picks are going to be. I've got them ready. They are locked and loaded. I haven't posted them yet because you got to hear it here first. I went 3-3 last week. Feeling really good about it. Missed a couple by just like a point or two, but we'll be okay. We'll recover. Big weekend coming up. And you stay tuned. We got the picks coming up a little bit later on. Let's look into the NFL playoffs. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
NFL playoff weekend divisional round ready to go, man. Looking at these games. The first night, we'll see if it goes the way the bettors are thinking or the wise guys are thinking, and if it goes the way things went last week, is it going to be another day of just really lopsided football games? Ravens and Texans going at it at 2:30. Ravens are 9.5-point favorites against the Texans. It's going to be a tall task, man, but it's going to be a tall task for the Texans. 9.5, it's tough. But you need to know this. If you're paying attention to the betting and all that stuff, Mark Andrews playing is still very much up in the air, which is a big deal for Baltimore. John Harbaugh was asked about it today. Asked whether or not tight end Mark Andrews will play in Saturday's divisional round playoff game against the Texans. He's listed as questionable. He did practice this week for the first time since he injured his ankle back in mid-November. He might play. We'll see. Is what Harbaugh said is Mark is still up in the air. I mean, that's been his favorite target, man. That's been Lamar's favorite target since they were taken. They were both selected in the same year, in 2018. So Andrews is a special tight end. He's been one of the best. He's the last 3 years, 347 receptions, 4,305 yards, and 37 touchdowns. Those are all ranked right up there amongst the best tight ends. So this will certainly be a big blow. But the Ravens, of course, found ways to win games, even without him, because he's been out for well over a month, like 2 months. It's been 2 months. But, you know, on this matchup, obviously Lamar is the greatest, the most electrifying quarterback. He will win. He'll win the Super Bowl. He's going to be the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, it's just what's going to happen. I know the picks are coming up later on, but that's the most obvious one, isn't it, Angel? Of course I'm going to pick the Ravens to win. Nobody's going to stop this team. It's a freight train. Nobody's touching them. How you feel about that? You're out on the playoffs, aren't you? Like,
I'm out. I mean, I'm not out. Like, I will pay attention and keep up with it, but I'm not like,
I don't understand that.
I just don't have like the. So let's go. You football. Can't be. I'm ready to watch a blowout on Saturday afternoon.
So you're not interested in the games if it doesn't involve your team?
Well, I mean, it's hard to root for teams that.
You don't have to root.
Not in it. It's
you
like,
don't have to root. You just watch because it's football.
Yeah, I'll watch it, but it's not like I'm diving in deep to all the analytics and what's
going to
happen.
It's not like you're a sports show
here.
Host, producer, or anything like that.
Yeah, I will pay attention enough to know what I'm talking about. But it's like, personally, as a fan, as a casual NFL viewer at this point, it's like, all right, this is a game. It's going to be
so
on.
So you would label yourself as a casual NFL viewer, huh?
When my team's not on, yes.
Wow. I am diehard. I'm diehard.
I like the NFL. I enjoy watching NFL football, yes. When my team is playing, I get really, really into it. When my team's not playing, it's just like, all right, it's football game on. It's like a tier above spring football for me. And wow. I enjoy spring football.
It's playoff time.
I know.
It's playoff time, Angel.
I know.
It's the quest to the Super Bowl. This is the best time of the year to watch football. It's the best.
It's tough when your team's not in it.
I'm just not wired. Like, I'll watch out-of-market football until I'm blue in the face, whether that's college or pro.
Too. I will watch any NFL game on. If my team's not playing on a Thursday night, I will have the Thursday night game on. But playoffs, it's just a little different. My interest goes down like a half point.
Flying Dutchman says, can Angel impersonate Gus Johnson saying C.J. Stroud during his Ohio State days? Did you do that at one point?
I can't do a good Gus Johnson, no. I don't want to break the mic.
Touchdown! I don't know. That's about as good as I can do.
Oh, God! Touchdown!
That's pretty good.
That's about it.
Texter here. Houston to score more than 16.5 points is -110 odds. Do you think they will score 17 or more? I think, and again, I'm doing picks coming up, but you guys already know where I'm going with Baltimore. I wouldn't be shocked if this is an actual bloodbath. And I'm not just fanboying over Lamar Jackson. I just think this feels like the year for Baltimore. It really does, and I'm not just talking about Lamar Jackson. This defense has been pretty good over the season. They're right up there, and I think a top five in yards per game. So can they score over six? Can Houston score over 16.5? Baltimore's the best. I mean, they're the best again, you know, not allowing scores. I'm going to say under in this game. I don't think Houston. I at 16.5 is not 17 is not a lot, Angel, you know, but can they get two touchdowns against this stingy Baltimore defense? This is a very good defense. I mean, I've been talking a lot about Lamar Jackson, but bottom line is this defense is stacked. And I just don't think, I mean, great for C.J. Stroud, great for D'Amico Ryans, like, excellent, that's awesome. Step one accomplished, you made it to the playoffs, you won a playoff game. But I think you're running into a brick wall with this team. Defensively, I think that's even more impressive than Lamar. Lamar's probably going to win MVP, but this defense is legit. So I think I would shy away from that over if I were you wanting to know about this Baltimore-Houston game. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So that's certainly a concern, though, for the Ravens with Mark Andrews, but they've found ways to win without him. Meanwhile, going over to the Bills-Chiefs situation, with the Bills, you got wide receiver Gabe Davis is out, safety Taylor Rapp. They're both ruled out against the Chiefs coming up this weekend. So they've been decimated by injuries, a lot of injuries there. Again, you talked about this. You have to stay healthy. You got to find ways. Like, it's a lot of times, it's the better team, but if you can keep your key guys healthy, you're going to find ways to win playoff games. So the Bills game is interesting to me because obviously Josh Allen and the Bills are red hot. They turn it on. We said it a month ago. If they can squeeze into the playoffs, they're going to be very tough to go up against. The Chiefs have certainly had their concerns. You know, they get the win last week, but their wide receivers have been interesting. Rice is pretty good. He had a monster game last week. The concern there is who around Patrick Mahomes can step up. Kelce has had a weird year. Some are wondering if this is Travis's last year, too. Because, you know, you got his brother. Looks like he's done. You've got Travis, who's one of the best, if not the best, tight ends to ever do it. But he's got Super Bowl rings now, and he's been taking a beating over the years. So can Kelce have one of those monster games coming up against the Bills? That's going to be the question. That game is intriguing. I believe, are the Bills? The Bills aren't. Yeah, the Bills are favored by 2.5. That line has changed. It was 3. So that game's going to be very intriguing to me. Buccaneers-Lions, we talked a little bit about that yesterday with Detroit being favored by 6.5. I could see that being a blowout. I could. But then again, with Baker Mayfield, can he play at that high level like we saw last week? I mean, this man is fighting for his career this weekend. You know, last week was good. Getting into the playoffs was good. But I still, don't you think, like, if you're Tampa Bay, is he your guy going forward? Has he done enough to show you that, hey, we want to sign him to a 3-4 year deal and he'll be our guy going forward? Has he done enough?
Not yet. I need to see how you do on the road in the playoffs.
What if they don't win, but he has a decent game?
Then I could see them signing him to a 3-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think they overachieved this year, the Buccaneers, no question. Mm-hmm. And being 9-8 and getting in, I didn't see that coming. I was shocked by that. And if you can go out, put on a decent performance, I mean, this Lions crowd, I mean, that's a tough place to play now. That's a really tough place to play. And it's even tougher if, you know, in the weather, apparently. I love, who was Bowles asked about that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you
cool 72 degrees in Detroit?
How are you going to handle the weather situation? Well, we're indoors first off, so should be good. I thought that was just hilarious. But Detroit just feels like a team of destiny this year. And I don't know how far that's going to take them. But you do have that interesting redemption story and a really good defense in Tampa Bay. That defense can keep you in games and allow for even a couple of mistakes by Baker Mayfield. So that matchup is going to be, I think it's going to be pretty good for the most part. But the question is going to be, if Baker Mayfield starts to crumble, then I could see, you know, Detroit eventually wearing out, even though they're a tough defense, eventually wearing out Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I just, you know, playing at home, playing in front of your home crowd does something for you, and I think that's what happened with Tampa Bay. Obviously, the Eagles have been reeling the last month and a half. Maybe you caught them at the perfect time to really just snatch that away from them. I could see this defense giving Baker some issues, maybe a turnover here and there. And I think Detroit's just riding high right now. They have that offensive system figured out, the running backs we talked about. Jared Goff, you beat your former team, you got that off, your pressure's off. Now you just need to go out and win it. But I think I'm leaning Detroit there.
What do you think about the line in the Packers-Niners game? It's 9.5 San Francisco.
I think that's incredibly disrespectful.
Really?
Yeah. I think the Packers are a lot better than people are crediting them for.
I mean, they got better as the season went, and they kind of got hot, mm-hmm. You know? That one's, yeah, I was shocked. I was honestly shocked to see both those games on Saturday are at 9.5. You know, this team, Green Bay, you know, to get into the playoffs, and they weren't like big, like great teams that they were beating. They had close games against the Panthers. They were at, you know, they destroyed the Vikings. Low scoring game against the Bears. But this team has shown they got. Jordan Love has been playing at an elite level. Obviously, Jones at running back has been a stud for this team. So I definitely don't know about, like, winning is going to be a tall task. All you need for San Francisco, you got to look at San Francisco and say, man, Brock Purdy, as long as you don't try to be a hero out there, you just play within this offense, you should be fine. But that one, yeah, I'm with you. That 9.5 seems like a lot. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. We do have the picks coming up very, very soon. Find out where I'm leaning, even if I think, you know, these spreads are crazy. Even if I think a team's going to win, are they going to be able to cover those big spreads? We'll talk about it. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
I mean, we're just getting into this RG3 Jay Gruden thing is still going. They're just going at each other here. RG3 went on, did a podcast talking a little trash about Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden commented on it, said, "You really want to play this game?" RG3 said, "I'm not playing games. I'm retired. You have a free invite to come on the show and discuss face to face. I know where all your bodies are buried, Jay. Don't play with me." What is going on? Two very much so average people at their jobs. Jay Gruden, average to below average as a head coach. RG3, as much as I liked him coming out of college in his rookie year with Washington, it just didn't work out. What do you make of this, man? Like, these two dudes, what is with these Twitter beefs now? People just go at it. These guys are not stopping. It's just constant here today.
I think it's Jay Gruden venting his bitterness that he's at home coaching Madden. RG3 is probably doing this just to get more likes and follows on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And go listen to my podcast and hear me talk more about this.
Yeah, how about that? What a weird story. All started because Jay Gruden said, "If I ever put a QB through what Philly is putting Jalen through, I apologize. Pick up a blitz." I'm sorry, Jay, but you're inviting chaos with that kind of tweet. You were a coach, and you weren't very good, so you are just asking for it.
He wouldn't do that to Jalen, but he would throw RG3 out there on a bum knee. And
oh, that was Shanny.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever.
Yeah, that was Mike Shanahan. Some argue that that ruined RG3's career.
I'd say it did.
That he when he got healthy, he still just wasn't right. Just wasn't ready to go. I just don't know, though. Like, that's not a good tweet by Jay. You're going to open it. Now, if you're...
Like you went from the lesser Gruden brother to now, like, yeah. The significantly lesser.
Uh-huh.
And your brother looks a lot better, even with his emails and whatever he does.
Like, if you're a great coach, you could tweet that, and you'd still probably get people coming at you. Bill Belichick could tweet that. And you would still get people saying, yeah, remember when you allowed Tom Brady to break his leg? You would still get it. So I actually put more blame on Jay for this. But now it seems like RG3 is escalating this whole Twitter battle to the point where now it's like coming into like dangerous stuff. Like, hey, come on my podcast. I know where all your bodies are buried. Like, I know all your dark secrets. I know all your terrible secrets. Wow, it went from... something about a game to now these two are just going at it. Flying Dutchman says San Francisco with the number 3 rushing offense goes against Green Bay number 28th rushing defense. This might be close early, but I think San Francisco pulls away. Sean, another texter here. Sean McVay was RG3's offensive coordinator. Correct. We said that earlier because thought that was funny because Jay Gruden commented back and said, you're right, we didn't have a very good staff. It's insane, dude.
Just saying this, that the Raiders are working on a deal with Antonio Pierce to remain as
a good. Good for them, I guess. That's the smart move. Listen, I'm not a Raiders guy. I don't wish something good to happen to them.
Outside of week 18.
Yeah, right. Very true. And hopefully I don't have to do that again. Don't test me, but I will. I will be rooting for a loss next year if we're in the same situation. I want those picks. I'm not Sean McVay. I don't say the opposite. I don't say the F word and, you know, against the picks. I want the picks. We need the picks. But that's a good move by the Raiders, Angel. I don't know if Antonio Pierce is going to make it. I don't know if he's a great coach. I don't know what his thing is. It sounds like he's a motivator. But I do imagine that he's going to rally the troops. And when you have star players threatening, like, I might want to be done here if you don't hire, like, you have Crosby coming out saying, you know, I'll request a trade if you don't bring him back. Devontae Adams is vouching for the guy. You can't keep screwing over your stars on the team. You got rid of Adams' quarterback. One of the reasons he was okay leaving Green Bay, he also knew Rodgers was ultimately going to leave Green Bay. But I think it's a big move. I think it's a really solid move for the Raiders. What do you think? Is it too risky? We talked about this yesterday, why you need to be careful with these moves, because this can set your organization back another 5-6 years if this doesn't work out.
Yeah, I think it's a risk that, you know, if they don't make the playoffs next year, if Aiden O'Connell, if that's their guy, doesn't pan out and they don't make the playoffs, do you start saying, oh, we're stuck with this for another year or two and we don't have a quarterback, our receivers are mad, and we're probably going to lose Crosby? Ugh. Like you said, it sets you back quite a bit.
And this is why I was rooting for Antonio Pierce to get the job because I liked watching him and it sure seemed like he was good at rallying. I mean, obviously, as a Broncos fan, if I think he's going to be good, I'm not excited about that. But I think that, you know, the not jumping into it was probably the right decision. You know, there were a lot of people like, just hire him today. But this is such a crucial decision, as we're learning. You know, again, we started the show talking about Tad Boyle. And I'm not advocating for the Buffs to move on from him. I'm just saying, is it worth a conversation if they miss... if they miss the NCAA tournament this year? But the point being, you got to be careful what you wish for. You got to be careful what you ask for. Because if you do move on from Tad or whatever, finding the right coach is so difficult. And if you don't find the right coach, you get into a cycle of bad coach here, 3 years. Bad coach here, 3 years. We can't get recruits anymore. If you're in the NFL, we're not winning games. We're losing money. People aren't coming to our games. We're losing free agents because they don't want to stay here. You just keep spiraling out of control. And if you have a bad coach, you typically don't have a great quarterback either because they can't seem to get it right. And that's what bad organizations do. So you have to be very careful when making these decisions because this sets you up. If you can find a successful coach, everything else takes care of itself. You know, you're ultimately able to get a quarterback in there and it works out. But I like the move. I'm not happy because I think it's going to work out. Do you think Pierce is going to turn out and be a good coach?
In Raider standards?
Let's say he's a playoff coach. Do you think he's a playoff kind of coach? He's there on a consistent basis? Or do you think this thing's done in 3 to 4 years?
I think they're a playoff team in 2 years. Depending
with O'Connell, huh?
I'm not sure about O'Connell. I could see a free agent quarterback saying, I want to go play for that guy. Get me to Las Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a Drew Lock.
Like a Drew Lock going to the Raiders?
I can see it.
Ooh,
seems like the type of guy that
wouldn't that be something?
We're trying to do that. Play against his former team twice a year.
Oh, he would kind of fit with the Raiders, wouldn't he? He's not like a bad boy like Baker comes across, but he's not really a good one either.
He's got that
in the nicest way.
Swag to him.
Well, yeah, he does. He kind of does. But he's still like a nice dude. But he was also I remember one of his games, he did the whole, because he was being criticized, and it was his second year is when he's playing full time. He was being criticized, and he did the whole, you know, none of you guys are out doing what we're doing. You know, and that was my only bad thing about Locke. And I think he kind of backtracked on that because people hate that. Fans absolutely hate it, and they should. You know, critics are what makes your sport thrive. Critics are what makes you go. Fans, media, all of it. So one of the most, me being a fan also in the media, one of the things that frustrates me so much about athletes and coaches is when they pull that card. You never played the game. Now you get players tweeting that out all the time. So that was my frustrating thing with Drew Lock once. And he was kind of a bad boy at that point. He didn't wear his mask. So maybe he does fit with the Raiders.
Go to the dark side.
Got in trouble for not wearing his mask. And that turned out to not really do much.
Yeah, it's an idea. I think you're going to see quite a few players want to play for Pierce.
I do too. I think you get the former players that it hasn't been that long since they played. Because like Dan Campbell, when's the last time he played? It wasn't that long ago, was it?
Probably 90s.
Maybe. Oh, was it? Was it 90s?
I don't know. That was a guess.
I thought I saw a clip the other day of him. And it looked like they were relatively new uniforms. But I guess he's old. He's 47, so. Last time he played, Angel, was in 2009 with the Saints. Would he have been under Sean Payton? Was he a part of the gate? What was the gate?
Bounty gate.
Bounty gate. Thank you. So he played last in 2009. But that's fairly recent. And so I do think that is something that players really like because they
can... He was on Sean Payton's staff at one point.
Well, I think people look at that and go, that's somebody that kind of gets what we're going through now. Like even guys that, older coaches that played back in the 70s, that's good, but it's still harder to connect with some of those guys, you know, because they played in a different era and things were so much different at that point. So Antonio Pierce last played in 2009 as well. So I think that's recent enough. But I think you're right. I think players are going to want to get behind this guy. Because his speech at the end of the Broncos-Raiders game was really good. So I think he's probably going to work out okay. They're a consistent playoff team. You get Crosby and Davante Adams going to bat for you. That certainly helps. All right, when we come back, Angel, it's time. Before we do that, though, on the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week, each and every week, this one from Breckenridge Brewing. It's the Avalanche beverage, the beer, the brewski. Call it brewski ever? You ever just call it a brewski, Angel? You ever just feel like grabbing a brewski? You're not one of those guys? No?
No, I think that's more of a upper north, upper Midwest, New England type of thing.
I've done
maybe.
I'd say the brewski thing. Yeah,
it's
sometimes.
Not in my vocabulary often.
Get it there. We'll work on it. But Gay Beer of the Week from Breckenridge Brewing is the Avalanche. Tastings today, 4 to 7 o'clock. Los Gatos Wines happening at 4 o'clock at On the Rocks Liquor. 3-3 on the picks last week. Time to go well over 500. We'll see what happens. The picks are coming up next.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.